Hello everyone and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon and today we begin our medical article on page 36. The title of this article is Eye Solutions and here to help me discuss this topic is Campbell and Stephanie. Welcome panelists.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
And Campbell, have you had any problems when it comes to your eyes?
I was nearsighted until I had surgery. I did the laser surgery, so now I have good vision. Never had anything as serious as color blindness or blindness, but, you know, I did have a little bit of where I did need glasses.
All right, so that surgery was very successful, obviously.
Yeah, it was one of the best decisions I made in my life, and it's made life a lot easier for me.
Okay, a lot of people have had that LASIK surgery, I believe it's called, and it's been very successful for many people, so that's great. How about you, Stephanie? Any eye problems in your life?
Well, I wear glasses.
Okay.
So I am nearsighted, and I actually enjoy wearing my glasses.
All right.
So.
That's good. Why do you enjoy wearing your glasses?
I don't know. Maybe I'm used to it now.
Gives you that distinguished look. You know, some people will have the eye surgeries, and then later on they want the fake glasses, right?
Yeah, I do that all the time. My wife is always saying, why did you spend all that money to do surgery, and now you're looking at fake glasses? I'm like, it looks cool.
Yeah, I think so too, and sometimes I'm tempted to go get some fake glasses, but I haven't. Well, we are particularly talking about here in the first 2 days, we're talking about color blindness. What exactly is color blindness, Campbell?
Well, color blindness is a condition that basically the person isn't able to see certain colors.
All right, and there are different types of color blindness that we will talk about. We're not only talking about that in this article. The title, once again, is Eye Solutions. As you'll see later on, we will talk about more general tips for people to protect their eyes. And the deck says, some tips and possible remedies for vision problems. When we see that word remedy, Stephanie, we often think of the medical field or something is wrong with you, right? And there are remedies. What is a remedy exactly? What's the meaning of that?
Remedies like maybe a solution?
That's right, exactly. A solution to a problem. So that's what we're discussing. Here on day one and two, we're talking about solutions for color blindness, and the title of today's topic or article is A Shot in the Eye, Researchers May Have a Cure for Color Blindness. Now, that sounds scary, Campbell, a shot in the eye. I would not want a shot in my eye.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to imagine someone putting a needle into my eye. I mean, the idea of LASIK surgery was kind of scary enough with someone cutting into my eye. But
tell us more about that. Were you like petrified? Were you really scared when you went in?
Well, I was awake. I mean, they did put some numbing drops in my eye, so I didn't feel anything.
Okay.
But you do smell the flesh, you know, as the laser cuts through. And yeah.
How long did it take? Do you remember?
I don't remember. Less than an hour.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
It's
and
pretty
it
quick.
Seems to be very safe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still here and I can still see, so yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we are talking about eye solutions today on page 36. So please open your magazines if you haven't already, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Eye Solutions. Some tips and possible remedies for vision problems. A shot in the eye. Researchers may have a cure for color blindness. For the more than 10 million Americans with color blindness, there's never been a treatment, let alone a cure, for the condition that leaves them unable to distinguish certain hues. Now, for the first time, two University of Washington professors have teamed with a California biotech firm to develop what they say may be a solution, a single shot in the eye that reveals the world in full color. Jay and Marie Knights, husband and wife scientists who have studied the vision disorder for years, have arranged an exclusive license agreement between UW and Avalanche Biotechnologies of Menlo Park, California. Together, they've found a new way to deliver genes that can replace missing color-producing proteins in certain cells called cones in the eyes.
Okay, so we get an interesting stat here at the beginning. It talks about how 10 million Americans, more than 10 million Americans, suffer from color blindness. So it is a big deal there, and I've known people who have been color blind. Of course, sometimes a simple thing is they don't match their clothes sometimes because they're colorblind, because they can't see certain colors.
Right, or just driving on the street because there's, you know, the green-red colorblind, so they can't distinguish between green and red. So if you're driving on the street, you know, the traffic lights, sometimes they can only go by, you know, which one is
on. That's right, which could be a little scary sometimes.
Right.
Especially if something goes wrong with the traffic light, I guess. But Stephanie, do you know anyone who's colorblind?
Well, actually, I have an uncle who is colorblind.
Okay, and has he shared with you any of the challenges associated with that?
Well, I think he's very good at adapting, which is one of our vocabulary words. Adaption, where we change to suit different conditions. So he adapts by, well, he's colorblind with red and green.
Okay.
And so, like Campbell said, with the traffic lights, it's a bit of a challenge, but he does by knowing which side, if red or green is on left side or right side, then he knows which one is on.
So you brought up a very good point. You said he has been able to adapt, and so he's been able to change and work with the circumstances that he has there. And so that's really important. As we look back here on page 36, we see there's never been a treatment, of course, for color blindness, let alone a cure. All right, so when we say something like that, let alone, what are we really meaning by that?
When we say let alone, we're using it after a negative statement to emphasize how unlikely a situation is, because something much more likely has never happened.
All right, so there's never been a treatment, so of course there's not a cure either so far.
Right. Yeah, so when we talk about a treatment or a cure, a treatment is just something that can help to lessen the symptoms, lessen the problem, and a cure is one that just takes the problem away completely. So just as a different example, diabetes, right? You might give them insulin as a treatment that helps to take care of the high blood sugar, but it's not a cure. It doesn't take away the diabetes completely.
Okay, good point. All right, so this leaves people with color blindness unable to distinguish certain hues. And a hue is just a shade of a color. Maybe it's a lighter or darker shade. Or people who are colorblind, they can't see maybe certain colors as well, depending on their type of color blindness, as we've already discussed. But now things could be changing. We learned that two University of Washington professors, they are teaming up with a California biotech firm, and they have developed what they say could be a solution. And what is that solution again, Stephanie?
They say it's a single shot in the eye that reveals the world in full color, so they can see all colors.
And that catches your attention. That puts it down in very simple terms to understand. It sounds like you get a shot in the eye and wow, the world changes for you, Campbell.
Yeah, that sounds really scary, though. I mean, to see this needle coming at you, it would take a lot of control.
But you had a laser coming at your eye.
And it took a lot of control to just lie there and stare.
I can imagine, yeah, seeing a needle coming and going into your eye would be a scary sight indeed. But if it works, hey, it could change your life, right? Mm-hmm. Just the same with the LASIK surgery. Okay, so we do meet the two scientists here, Jay and Maureen Knights, and their husband and wife team, and they've studied vision disorder for years. So they're not new to this, of course. They've been doing it a while. And they have arranged an exclusive license agreement between this company and the university. Okay, so the word exclusive, we've talked about the word inclusive before, but what does exclusive mean, Stephanie?
When something's exclusive, it's limited to one.
All right, to one person or to one group, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that means that other companies can't come in and, you know, take over what they're doing. They have a license agreement. They're working with this, the university and this company, they're working together. And they found a new way to deliver genes. And what will that do, Campbell?
Well, the genes will replace missing color-producing proteins in certain cells called cones in the eyes.
All right, and there's a website that's very helpful, and it's mentioned on page 37. It's called colorvisionawareness.com, and it gives you lots of information about color blindness and so forth, and it does talk about the role of the cones, and there are also rods. The retina, actually, it contains two types of light-sensitive cells. They're called rods and cones. Rods outnumber cones in the retina and are responsible for our vision in very dim light. Cones are responsible for all daytime vision, including color vision. So that's a little bit more about the cones there. And we'll discuss more about these proteins and cells a little bit later on. But right now, we are going to go to our second reading for today.
I don't think there's any question that it will work, said Marie Knights, a UW professor of ophthalmology. The new treatment, which may be tested in humans within 2 years, could be a boon for the 1 in 12 men and 1 in 230 women with color vision deficiency. The trouble occurs when people are born without one or more of the three types of color-sensing proteins normally present in the cones of the retina. The most common type is red-green colorblindness, followed by blue-yellow colorblindness. A very small proportion of the population is completely colorblind, seeing only shades of gray.
All right, so these scientists are very confident that this will work. Maureen says, I don't think there's any question that it will work. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it, Campbell?
Yeah, when you say that there's no question or I don't think there's any question, that means you're pretty certain it will work.
All right, and who is she? She's a scientist, but what word here describes her?
She is a professor of ophthalmology. All right, so let's look at this word ophthalmology. Whenever you see ology at the end of anything, it means it's the study of something. And here we're talking about the study of the eyes. And the word ophthalmology, the TH there is more of a T, a soft T sound.
Okay, all right. And the new treatment, which may be tested in humans within 2 years, could be a boon for men and women alike. Let's look at that word, boon. That simply means something that is helpful or improves the quality of life. So when they hear about this treatment, and if it works, of course, this could improve the quality of life for those who suffer from color blindness. And we get some information, Stephanie, about the specifics concerning men and women who suffer from color blindness.
Well, it's 1 in 12 men who suffer from color blindness and 1 in 230 women. So a lot more men suffer from color blindness than women.
That's right. That's what we see here. It's much more common in men, as we'll discuss more a bit later. And they are suffering from color blindness. Another way to describe this is they have a color vision deficiency, Campbell.
That's right. Color vision deficiency is a state of not having, or it's a lack of something. So if you have a deficiency in funds, maybe you don't have enough money, or a deficiency in your blood sugar, you need more sugar in your blood.
Yeah, we see this word a lot when we're talking about medical problems, because you don't have enough of something, and so that is a deficiency. Well, the trouble occurs when people are born without one or more of the three types of color-sensing proteins that are normally present in the cones. Now, the cones of the retina, and we talked a bit earlier about the cones, and once again, they are responsible for all the daytime vision, including color vision, and so we get a bit more information here about that. And we also are talking about different types of color blindness, and they mention here first red-green color blindness. And those who have red-green color blindness, they actually have difficulty distinguishing between reds, greens, browns, and oranges as well. And so this is a big problem. And Stephanie, I believe you mentioned your uncle has this particular type, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And there's also blue-yellow color blindness. Those who have that, they have a difficulty distinguishing, but actually they confuse blue with green and yellow with violet.
Mm.
Hmm.
And so depending on which one you have would cause various problems, different problems, I would assume.
Yeah, you know, it's actually interesting. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I've actually thought, you know, how do we know that the red I'm seeing is actually the red that you're seeing? And, you know, maybe we've both been taught that that is red, but maybe what you're seeing is what I would think of as yellow.
That's a good point. Well, yellow, that's a
well,
big difference.
Well, I'm saying, though, like, you know, that maybe you see yellow. If I was looking through your eyes, I would think it was yellow, but just because you've been taught that that is red, you say that's red.
Right.
The way I would say that that's red.
Well, we see this happen often, not to that degree, but maybe I think something is red and you say, no, it's pink. So we do, that happens a lot,
right,
you know, with different shades.
Yes, but I mean, what I'm saying is we both agree that it's red, but perhaps your red is different from my red.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a crazy thought.
Yeah.
yeah, but it does bring up a good point that people do see color a little bit differently, and but here, some people can't see, you know, colors at all, or they get them just totally mixed up, and it causes lots of issues, you know, in their life. But they learn to live with it, as Stephanie mentioned with her uncle. They learn to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
As we go back here to line 13, we see a very small proportion of the population is completely colorblind.
Wow.
Seeing only shades of gray.
Wow. So that would be like seeing like a black and white movie.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
You would just not be able to see any color at all.
So they would benefit, I think, the most from this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was able to help them. Imagine only seeing, you know, shades of gray. And then all of a sudden you see colors.
Mm-hmm.
How wonderful, how beautiful, much more beautiful the world would be. And so that would be very beneficial. And, you know, I would love to hear about that after they get this procedure and see, you know, the difference. And I think that's something we can, you know, appreciate. Oftentimes we take things for granted. We take our sight for granted. We take color. So, you know, it reminds us, hey, if you don't have these problems, let's be thankful. Well, we have more to learn about concerning color blindness, and we are going to have our last reading. So please turn your attention to page 36, and we'll have our last reading for today.
Because they can't perceive certain colors, they see hues in muted or different shades than people with normal vision. Color blindness is often a genetic disorder. It affects mostly men, who can inherit a mutation on the X chromosome that impairs their perception of red and green. A much smaller fraction of cases are in women, who have two X chromosomes, which gives them a better chance of avoiding effects of any genetic defect.
Okay, well, we've talked about already how, you know, that people who are colorblind, they see things in different hues, different colors. As we continue here, we see the word muted, that they see hues in muted or different shades. And when I think of the word mute, I think of a TV and I press the mute button, so I don't hear the sound anymore. What does the word muted mean here?
Well, here it means more like not bright. So, because you should see things in bright color, the yellows and the reds, but for them it'd be kind of dark color and seems similar.
Right. Okay. Another word would be that the colors are more, they're duller, they're dull, so it's not as bright, as shiny as other people might see it.
Okay, and so people with normal vision, or they see the full color, and but color blindness is often a genetic disorder. It's passed down through family members. And I think, Stephanie, you had some research about that you could share with us.
Yes, that is correct. As I've mentioned before, my uncle is colorblind, and I learned that colorblindness usually goes through the women. The women are like the carriers. They have it. They carry it, but they are not colorblind themselves. Mm-hmm. But then when they have children, it's usually their sons who become colorblind.
Mm-hmm. And that leads us right into our next topic, because men usually are the ones who are colorblind. There are some women who suffer from that, but we get more details of why that is here, Campbell.
Yes, I feel like I am in a biology class right now. Well, we find out that colorblindness mostly affects men who can inherit a mutation on the X chromosome that impairs their perception of red and green. Now, X chromosome is one of our specialized terms. It's a structure containing chemical patterns that is present in both males and females. So, back to biology class, men have X and Y chromosomes, and women have two X chromosomes. So, the reason it affects men more than women is because if that X chromosome carries this mutation, then men are more likely to have this colorblindness. But because women have two X chromosomes, if one X is not affected, then they're usually okay.
That's right. Okay, very good explanation. And actually, according to colorblindness.com, up to 8% of the world's male population is colorblind, but only 0.4% of women in the world are colorblind. And so you see the big gap there, the big difference.
Yeah.
And we get a clear explanation. It's due to the chromosomes. All right, and I also have some more stats here. It also, they break it down according to different races. For example, Caucasians, when it comes to red-green color blindness, 8% of men are affected. And also with red-green color blindness, 5% of Asian men are affected, and 4% of Africans are affected by red-green color blindness. And sometimes nationality does make a difference. One example given is that in Caucasian societies, up to 1 in 10 men suffer, but in Eskimo societies, among that race, 1 in 100 are colorblind. And so there is a difference sometimes with nationality. Hmm. But as we see here, it is often a genetic disorder. But, it differs from nation to nation and so forth. And so overall, we see that it is affecting men more, and we get an explanation of that. I did not know that. Were you aware of that? I guess, Stephanie, you were aware of it because of your own
blind. Yeah, I was very aware, yes.
Okay. Did you know that men were more affected, Campbell?
I did hear that before, but I think before we started talking, I didn't remember that fact. But now, as we are going through this article, I do remember learning and hearing about that earlier.
Okay. And so I just want to do a brief review. We've talked about a lot of different things today, and it's kind of scientific, which makes it a bit more complicated. But I want to look, first of all, at some of the key words that we talked about today, not necessarily just the vocabulary words. But panelists, could you choose one word that you want to leave our listeners with today that they can maybe go back and practice or review? Campbell, what's a word that you think is very beneficial that we've discussed today?
Well, we talked about the word deficiency, and a deficiency is a lack in something, and usually this is used in medical articles or when we're talking about medical problems that someone is suffering from a deficiency of something. So, for example, vitamin C deficiency means they don't have enough vitamin C, so they need more of that, or a calcium deficiency means they need more calcium.
All right. And Stephanie, one word that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I actually have three words that are very similar.
Okay.
Which is used a lot in this article, which are cure, treatment, and solution. Yes, and we use the word treatment where it's something to help us get better, but it does not cure us. We don't get better. But with a cure, we do get better. Like with colorblindness, we are not colorblind anymore. And the same with the solution. It's also the cure.
Right. So I think it's important to note that we are talking about a treatment and not a cure. The shot is not something that's going to remove color blindness, but it's going to help them, but they'll probably need further treatment in the future.
That's a good point. We learned earlier that it may be tested in humans within 2 years, and so they've been testing this, but they have not yet tested this treatment for color blindness on humans yet, and that is a key point because, you know, that's what they're doing this for, right? And so it has to work in the humans as well. So we'll have to wait and see about that. One other word is right there in our deck. We discussed it earlier, the word remedy. And it ties in with what Stephanie was talking about. It just means a solution, and that is a helpful word to know. And so if that you have some sickness or something, sometimes we use the word remedy, maybe is it a household remedy or something like that? Meaning not something that you got from the doctor, but it's maybe something that was passed down from your parents or in your community or something. And so that's another area where you'll see that word. Well, we have much more to talk about concerning eye solutions. So that we hope that you will come back tomorrow as we continue to talk about color blindness. Until then, this is Brandon.
Campbell.
Stephanie.
Saying goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.